This is a life-changing message from New Life Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. There is a light in me. And now, let's join Bishop Avi Hillier.
Chapter 22, verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Verse 54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house of, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he's a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now here's what we're going to talk about. Proactively avoiding faith failure. Everybody say proactively. Yeah, doing something in advance so your faith won't fail. Yeah, proactively avoiding faith failure. Because, you know, coming to the life in Christ we have, potential setbacks and drawbacks and flashbacks and all other kind of backs. And if we can address in advance, we can avoid allowing the devil to pull a rug from under us, so to speak. Now, I've been in a series of lessons on Beyond Your Choking Point. Many of you who've been to some of our meetings in other churches have heard me teach on that. And I said, when you get beyond the choking point, and your faith gets you beyond that point of hesitation, that point when you're contemplating disobeying God, that point when you are drawing back, that point of reservation, that when you get beyond that with your faith, that you step into the realm of the supernatural. Amen. All right. Now, this lesson is the flip side of it, is when you choke. And instead of faith launching you into the supernatural, faith failure causes you to suffer consequences. Amen, amen. Now, this is not a condemning lesson. My assignment from the Lord, and it is just as clear as ever now, I am to raise up an army of men and women who understand faith like I understand it. Now, I'm not saying everybody don't understand faith, but God gave me a revelation on faith that produces results, a boldness. And God says my responsibility is to share this with others. Now, I ain't planning on dying no time soon, so don't think, well, he got that, that's his last assignment. I ain't say that. If I die now, I'm going to have a look on my face, the undertaker can't take off. But like never before, I see the need to raise up men and women who really understand and function in the boldness of the God kind of faith. And it seems like along the way that the faith message has been watered down. Amen. It seems like it's been watered down. And I'm raising up this army. I'm following the assignment God's given me. And one thing that I want you to learn from is my faith failures. You feel? Oh, yeah, I've had faith failures, but I learned from them, so I don't plan to have any more. Now, we're going to talk about the dynamics of faith failure, because you may see that, I need to shore up myself here. Because, see, Jesus has been training Peter all along. No, he's handpicked. And it wasn't like, you know, Peter just kind of drifted in. No, we're talking about Peter. He's been handpicked. And Jesus has had him in the inner circle. Amen. Peter starts off seeing miracles when he sees the miracle catch there when he allowed Jesus to use his boat. So Peter is an outstanding person, because he's the one, when everybody else was looking at Jesus on the storm and sea, Peter stepped out and walked on the water. Right. Peter's an outstanding one, because when Jesus needed to pay his taxes, he sent Peter to go fishing, looking for money in a fish's mouth. We're talking Peter, understand? On the Mount of Transfiguration, who does Jesus have with him? Peter. Yet, with all of this investment, he says to Peter, he gives him a warning. Now, Peter, I know you've seen the supernatural. And listen, Jesus knows his destiny. He knows that the day of Pentecost is coming. He knows where Peter is supposed to be. But he says now, Satan got you in his crosshairs. He desires to have you so that he may sift you as wheat. And listen, Peter, I can't exempt you. Amen. I can't exempt you. I wish you could. I've invested a lot in you, but I cannot exempt you. But I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Watch this. That the faith I've taught you fails not. And I fully expect you to come through, Jesus. And when you come through, you have an obligation to strengthen your brother. I'm talking to my sons right now. I'm talking to my proteges right now. You've been trained and you've been listening and all of this sort of thing. And I'm letting you know, when you step out in boldness, devil has you in his crosshairs. And I wish I could exempt you. I wish when you got ready to build your building that I could exempt you from all of the trouble that comes when you're in construction. I wish I could exempt you from all of the hell that breaks loose in your home and in your family and in your church when you get ready to build. But I cannot exempt you, but I'm praying for you. That the faith that you learn, that the faith that you've seen, that it fails not. And then you are going to come through, Jesus. Been 7 years of difficulty and 7 years of where you didn't know how you were going to make it. Many have been able to pay bills ahead of time, but now you've had to believe from week to week to week to week to week. You're going to get back to your level of reserves. And when you get back, don't forget how you got back. You have an obligation to strengthen somebody else. Amen, amen. Yeah, yeah, faith failure, faith failure. Years ago, when you see that little raggedy building, it is because I had experienced faith failure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had a mentor that was teaching me faith. And this was before I met Dr. Price. It was a bold man named C.L. Jackson. I don't know anybody as bold as this guy. Man, he had this saying, if God said it, what you waiting on? I mean, and that's where he was. If God said it, well, what are you waiting on? You understand? Uh-huh. And so he's the one. When I first met him, he said, I was having some church problems. And he said, now, you're going to go Sunday and you're going to pastor that church. I said, I am. He said, you're going to take over the church Sunday. Uh-huh. You're going to be pastor. I said, okay. And then he told me, he says, now what you're going to do is, and he says, because we had a big termite problem and that sort of thing. And he said, now y'all need the extra money. And what you're going to do is you're going to raise the money from the people yourselves. Now in that church culture, and that's what we'll be talking about tomorrow. We're talking about church culture. You got to know the culture that you have. Yeah. Right. Every church, you may not have 1,000 members, but you got a culture.
Right. Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Every church has its unique personality. You follow me? And I had a church culture at that time where the deacons ran it. Now, I ain't saying that's bad or anything like that. It's okay when deacons will support the pastor, allow the pastor to fulfill the vision God put in his heart. But that wasn't the kind of deacons I had. No, that wasn't the kind of deacons I had. I had some deacons that thought that they run me, you understand? And they was doing a pretty good job. See, the way you see me tonight, you never would have thought I was where I used to be. They used to have me crying in the business meeting. Wow. See, wow. Some of y'all can't even believe that. Yeah. So he said, now Sunday, what you're going to do, you're going to explain everything to the pastors, to the people, and then you're going to stand flat-footed, and you're going to tell the people to bring the offering for the termite extermination and put it in your hands. Are you serious? Meaning we're not going to have a table out? Would a deacon stand behind the table? No, you're going to put it in your hand. You're going to see that the people are ready to follow you.
Come on,
Bishop. My knees are shaking. I stood up like the man of God told me. And I said to the people, we're going to handle everything decent and in order. But we're going to do this offering today differently. The deacons got rid of me. I said, no, brothers, I don't need you right now. So now they're in panic. They're going. So I said, I'm going to ask you to bring the offering and lay it in the man of God's hands. Boy, the people were so excited. In droves they came. And laid it in my hand. Had an usher there. I'm putting the money in there. God bless you. God bless you. The bucket's running over. The deacon's sitting over there like, what did he think he doing? And all hell broke loose. So now during this time, I get filled with the Holy Ghost. And the gifts of the Spirit start functioning. But I have no training. So I don't know it's the gifts of the Spirit and words of knowledge and that sort of thing. I think I'm going crazy. Because we started meeting and I'd get knowledge that they had another meeting before this meeting. So I'd ask them to read the minutes of the meeting. And they said, start reading minutes of the last meeting we had. I said, oh, no, not those minutes. The minutes meeting you had at Brother So-and-So house. And you were there and you were there and you were there and you were there and you were there. Who told it? Who told it? Who told it? Boldness about me. I said, now y'all can meet all you want to, but my meeting is on Sunday mornings with the people. And they go like, who does he think he is? And I say, really, that's when your wives are going to be there because really, they are the decision makers. So, they told me, we know how to fight a preacher. We have put preachers out. They were bold and bragging. We know how to fight preachers. And then they start calling the roll of preachers that they had put out. And said to me, we're going to put you out too. I'm from the hood. You want to fight? Let's go.
Right.
One lady told me, I paid for most of these kids into education around here, and all I got to do is call in my debts. I said, you need to call them. She said, and I will. And she did. I saw folk flip just like that.
Wow.
So I go to church one Friday, One Friday evening, deacons knock on my door. They serve me with papers. They served me with papers saying I couldn't come to church, a restraining order. One of the trustees' husband was an attorney, went to one of his friends who was a judge and did that, said I couldn't come to church. So, of course, me being bold and, you know, I'm coming to church. And I told him, I'll be there. So they hired a little lawyer, hired a policeman and put him at the back door. Why am I come through the back door? I'm the pastor. I come right down the middle aisle, passing out the restraining order, giving it to the people so the people could see what they was doing to the preacher. So they arrest, they told this guy, arrest him. He's trespassing. How am I going to be trespassing? My name on the sign, my name on the program to preach that day, my name on both church buses. And the restraining order has an illegal date on it. But I get arrested on a Sunday morning. I go to jail. I shine shoes around hustlers, pimps, and gangsters. Never been in any trouble but the Lord's folk. I go to jail on a Sunday morning, yes. They wouldn't handcuff me. I tried to give them to do it, but they wouldn't. Because the Bible says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. So, you know, they was going to put me in the squad car because when the guy who was going to arrest me, the security guy that was going to arrest me, somebody called the station and said the officer was in trouble. So just like that, the church was surrounded by policemen. Wow. So the sergeant comes in. He sees what's going on. He said, man, can't you see what's this going on? Let this preacher go. He's my prisoner. And by their protocol, I was his prisoner. He had to say so. So he said, take him to jail. So they take me to jail. So I go to jail on Sunday morning because I'm serving the Lord. So when I got ready to put me in the squad car, I said, y'all let him search me. He said, oh, no, Pastor, don't make us search. I said, no, I spread eagle. I want the full benefit. I want everything, you understand? He pat me down, and they let me keep my Bible. And then I'm really clowning. And I said, listen, here y'all are, got me all surrounded. All y'all got your guns. All I got is my Bible. Okay, but I'm okay. So they're taking me to jail. And so they're going to put me in a little holding office. I said, no, I'm supposed to be in jail. So I want to go to jail with the bars and everything. No, Pastor, don't let us put the, no, I'm supposed to go to jail. So they put me in jail, and they closed the door. Reality set in. I said, hey. Ooh, that place was deplorable. You know, because you got the stool right there and all that kind of stuff, and the person that had been in there before didn't do his bit. I want to get out. Okay. So I told him, I said, you didn't give me my phone call. He said, well, who you gonna call? He said, your lawyer is out here. Your churchman, the churchman was done left the church. Followed the police car. They got the whole substation surrounded. My family is there. So who you gonna call? I said, I don't know. You just get me out of here. I'll call the time if I have to. Just call me. So make a long story short, we go to court. I went in court. I come back the next Sunday full of myself. And I told them, I preached a sermon, you met your match. Fired them publicly, shamed them publicly. That was faith failure.
Say that,
good. So when I finished, God went to my study. I've always been able to hear the voice of God. I thank that. I thank God for that. Since a little boy, I've heard God's voice. And God spoke to me when I got in my study. He said, now, what was that? And you know, I'm trying to dialogue, you know. Well, the Lord, I just set the house in order. He said, no. They were wrong for what they did to you.
Right.
But they still my people. You had no right to do that. Now watch this. Now get your stuff and leave. Wait, hold on. You gonna fire me? No, they put me in jail. They attacked my wife. They wouldn't pay me my money. I got car repossessed. My house is in foreclosure. And you gonna fire me?
Wow.
When you ask God stupid questions, you don't say nothing. His last word was get your stuff and leave. I learned that day how important God's people are to him. That even though they can act up, they're still important for him, because remember, he sent his son to die for them. So I want every leader in the house to understand that. When you get fed up with folk, remember how important they are to God. I think I ought to say that again, because I know how you start dealing with folk, you understand? And they're acting crazy and, you know, acting like they don't, Can I get this to amen next so I can move amen. On? Yeah, you know, some folk can get on your last nerve.
Right.
And then get on the next one. That wasn't the last. I mean, they can just do that, you understand? And they talking about you, and you done found out they talking about you, and you befriended them, and you paid their light bill, you kept them from, I mean, you done all of this, you understand? You gone out of your way, and now here they talking?
Right.
You be wanting to go off on them. I'm here to warn you.
Say that.
The Lord will fire you for messing with his folk. No matter how wrong they are, Jesus died for them. Am I making any sense to anybody? Am I stressing this point? Because I know some folk can get on your nerve. And I know some folk, when they talk about you, you want to talk about them. But I'm telling you, from this preacher, you hear that's faith failure. See, faith failure is more than you not getting the car you was believing for. It's more. It's when you fail to manage the position of faith that you have. So I land. Hey, I need my church building again. Y'all don't get tired of seeing that. How my building? Y'all don't get my building. No, they told me they had to. Yeah, that is. That's where I landed. From the most prestigious church in the community that was debt free. To that. I think it's seat about, you know, and that time, you know, that was 400-500 seat church. It was a nice church, you understand? You know, and then nice pews and everything. And now that's what I got to come to. And it's not but about 6 blocks from the other church.
Wow.
So, you know, they enjoyed driving by. Slowing down. Now you say, well, how'd you get there? I told God that day. I said, God, just, you know, I repented after I found. I said, God, give me another chance. Give me another chance. Give me another chance. And he said he would. And I went to my mentor, because my mentor, you know, he was saying, I told him, the Lord told me to leave. He said, you can't leave. You done whipped him. Here, ain't nobody else been able to whip him. You done whipped him. I said, God. I said, Pastor, the Lord told me to get my stuff and go. In fact, I left a whole library of books there. They wouldn't let me have them. And so he said no. And I said, I asked the Lord to give me a building today. And at that time, the phone rang. It was the guy, my building went away. Dad, oh, look how they got the thing all split up. Okay, look at y'all. Okay, yeah. At that time, the guy who owned this place called my pastor, called the guy who's my mentor, and said, his name was C.L. Jackson. He said, everybody called him Jack. He said, Jack, you know, my building there on West Montgomery, I'm looking to rent it out. You know any preacher who need a building?
Wow.
I'm sitting there talking to him.
Wow. Come on.
He got the phone. He just kind of froze like, whoa. Because I told him, I asked God for a building. And God says he's going to give me a building that day. Now, I didn't ask God for that. No, I had no idea. And I hadn't seen it. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting in the office. I hadn't seen it. So he made the deal, and I didn't have no money. So Pastor Jackson paid for the bill and paid for my rent and all that kind of stuff, sent his people out there. And when I saw it, it was, oh, my God. Because I had some people who came with me, and when they saw that building, they went, oh. Now, here's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm bringing you to a point. That was a result of faith failure. But God showed me how to recover. And that's what I want to talk to you about, because there is varying degrees of faith failure that we want to talk about. Now, when we look at Peter, we always like to kind of point the fingers because Peter denied Jesus. But when we talk about faith failure, it's all through the Bible. You see the faith failure of Abraham when he fathered Ishmael. Faith failure of the children of Israel at Kadesh Barnea when they did not believe God was able. The faith failure of David when he had his affair with Bathsheba. The faith failure of Peter walking on the water and start looking at the storm. The faith failure of Jonah refusing to go into Nineveh. The faith failure of King Saul with his partial obedience. The faith failure of Samson with his escapade with Delilah. The faith failure of King Solomon when he crossed the line with marrying folk that God said not to marry. The faith failure of Eli when he compromised in disciplining his sons. The faith failure of John the Baptist when he started trying to discredit and doubt Jesus. Everybody say faith failure. Yeah, so I got to get your mind beyond some gross failure of denying Jesus. No, faith failure occurs when there is a calculated choice to either disobey God, not follow through on a divine assignment, to quit amidst a faith process, or to allow pressure to cause you to compromise righteousness. Do I need to say that again? Yeah, faith failure in the context of this lesson occurs when there is a calculated choice to disobey God, when I don't follow through on a divine assignment, when I quit amidst a faith process, when I allow the pressure to cause me to compromise a righteous stand. See, a lot of guys having faith failure, guys, pastors, men and women, having faith failure now when it comes to this whole thing about same-sex marriages. You don't even want to hardly talk about it now. Because you're scared that it's going to cause you some trouble.
All right. Come on,
so if the people don't hear a righteous stand, how will they know that there's a choice? Everybody say, don't let your faith fail. Yes, indeed. So when we look at this, Peter is warned by Jesus of this possibility that this challenge could derail him. But Jesus says, I'm praying for you that your faith don't fail. I fully expect you to come through. And I fully expect that when you leave out of here, you're going to leave changed. Because God's going to help you identify where you have been diminishing in faith. Where you've had taken a step back instead of a step forward. Yeah. Where you've allowed the past to cause you not to have the boldness you used to have, and you call it being wise.
Okay.
When in effect you're scared.
Yeah.
Wow. The person said, don't let your faith fail. All right. So faith fail is vital because we receive from God by faith. It's not easily detected, and that's why I have to talk to you like this. And believe me, all I want to do, I'm going to show you how to prevent a faith failure. Got it? In any of these areas. A faith failure, it interrupts the divine flow of blessings and anointing and favor. Faith failures are acts of disobedience due to a lack of boldness to obey. Faith failure, postponed, is about postponement and procrastination about assignments. God told you to build, but you won't build. Why? Because you're scared. You don't have the money. And you don't want to step out without the money because folk going to be looking at you. Amen. Well, see, you'll never see the supernatural till you do that. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Because, see, you know, one of the buildings we built, and we got to rebuild it. Banks, I think that is, what is this word? Yeah, very ambitious. Some of y'all heard my testimony. Y'all hear me. Very ambitious. You try to build two identical buildings in the same city at the same time. We think that's ambitious. I said, I didn't ask for your counsel. I asked for your money.
Right.
Now, I got the credit. I got the reserves in the bank. Yeah. Church is strong, bursting at the seams. But he won't do it. I didn't stop. I came back and put bricks all on the stage. And I said, we're going to build both buildings just like God said. If it takes us a brick a day, God give us enough bricks and enough days, we'll get through.
Yes,
boy, my members rallied behind that. Everybody's talking about a brick a day. I want you to understand, see, that's the difference between drawing back and using as an excuse, they won't give me the money. God didn't say build it if they give you the money. If God said it, what are you waiting on? Yeah, and that was some days we were out there building, and we had no money. I told Larry, go and sweep the foundation. That's all we could do. See, but see, I totally divorced myself from what folk think about me. Because in the little raggedy building, God let me know it ain't about that. I'm on assignment for him. See, folk couldn't understand. In that little raggedy building, when that little building, I'm full-time. I'm a full-time pastor. He wouldn't let me go to work. Because he said, I'm going to teach you how to live by faith. I'm going to teach you how to trust me. I mean, my father came to me and said, son, I know I didn't raise no lazy kid. I know I didn't raise no lazy son. Son, why don't you go to work? You got the skills. I was a system analyst. He said, son, I said, Dad, I have a job. I work for the Lord. Oh, Jesus. I said, now, am I asking you for money? He said, no. Look at my kids. Do they look like they need anything? No. I said, Bridget, does she look? I said, Bridget, she said, no. I said, well, Dad, what's the problem? I said, so you just can't understand that I live by faith and that my God supplies. See, it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to live it. Watch this. And you cannot live it and experience it unless you're willing to take a bold step and say, okay, God, I'm obeying you. Somebody need to be pushed in the house. Person next to you, just go on and push them a little bit. Just go and push them a little bit. Now, if they hit you back, don't say nothing. They hit you back and say, don't put your hands on me. Don't put your hands on me. Watch this. Won't you look? Look at the building. Now, in the building, that's where I was. In me, in the building, was all you see here. That's why I never judge a pastor by his present state, because you don't know what God has deposited in him. I had the potential for a million square feet of buildings. Oh, you listen to me?
Yes, sir.
But now I got to recover from faith failure. I'm not recovering at first. I'm in there mad at everybody. I'm in there wishing that I could see one of those deacons in the crosswalk, because I'm going to run over him. Oh, y'all laughing. No. I'm experiencing some days of deep depression because they're talking about me, y'all. I wrote a letter to the moderator of the association, but he was more concerned about keeping the big church in the association than helping me. So he wanted to prove to them that he was on their side. So he took my personal letter and printed it in the newspaper that went all over the country, all over the state of Texas. Association had a newspaper. I was on the front page. my personal letter, all my personal business. I hated the folk.
Say that. I know that's right.
Now you can judge me if you want to. I hated them. And then God comes to me one day and says, son, I got great things planned for you, but I cannot use you with your heart like it is. I'm talking to somebody in the house. See, you can't let your faith fail you. You cannot let the mistakes that you have made cause you to think that your destiny has been canceled. You better hear me. I don't think y'all heard that. I don't care what the mistake has been. I don't care what the postponement. I don't care what it has been. I want you to know that what God has planned for you is still intact. And he fully expects you to recover. So the Lord told me, that's when he taught me about forgiveness. And she had to teach me about forgiveness. Because, see, forgiveness ain't forgetting. Forgiveness is to you remember what folk done to you. Now Paul remembered. Paul wrote about Alexander the coppersmith. He said he did me wrong. Y'all better watch him. So don't tell me that forgiveness is forgetting, because Paul, he didn't forget. But forgiveness is choosing by an act of your will not to penalize a person for the wrong that they've done to you, treating them like Jesus would treat them. Forgiveness is not trust. Trust is earned. But I said, Lord, the pain. That was the problem. The problem was the pain. I hurt. Yeah, I hurt. I'm embarrassed. I'm shamed. Even though they didn't put me out, it was like they did, because I wasn't there. So all of my buddies, y'all preachers, y'all know, they won't have nothing to do with me. They won't have nothing to do. So they abandoned me. That's the best thing that happened for me. Because now I had greater fellowship with God. So he taught me how to take the blood of Jesus, put the blood of Jesus on my heart to get beyond the pain and let me know, watch this, he said, listen, your vindication does not come in the harm that comes to others who try to hurt you. Your vindication is in the continuous manifested blessings I will pour on your life. I will let them live long enough for them to see me bless you. That's what he said. I'll stop car wrecks. I'm not going to let them die until they see me bless you. They will see me raise you up. And see, at that moment, I forgot about them. Now I'm saying, Lord, what you want me to do? Are you listening to me? So now, when it comes to faith failure, I got to understand it's more dynamic than me just not getting the car I was believing for. Okay? I can have faith failure at what I call the perspective level. And that is, I not see a need to use the faith. See, everybody in church, everybody don't use faith. A lot of people just function totally on reasoning. And they run a church just like you run a regular organization. And we do only what we have money to do. But what about when God tells you to feed the 5,000 and you don't have anything? But what when God tells you to do something and the resources have not manifested yet? So are we still going to function on reasoning? If you want to be a regular church, a religious church, yes, you'll function that way. But if you're going to have the supernatural working in your life, even when you don't have it, just you declare it. Man, we broke ground on this place 9 years before we ever built it. Because God says time. So I went and I got both shovels, purple shovels for everybody. And we stood and we laid it out, the footprint of this church, laid it out. And all my members were shovels. And we broke ground. And let them all take the shovels home. And everybody said, well, when are you going to start? I said, keep watching. 9 years later, we started. We say, well, no, when you break ground, you're supposed to start right away. Who said so? Who said so? Who said I got to do it that way? I don't have to do it that way just because everybody else do it that way. I don't do it that way. I'm waiting on him to tell me when. First of all, he already gave it to me supernaturally. When we started negotiating on this land, it was $2.3 million. I think it was between 2.3 and 2.6. We bought it for $344,401. I already know I'm here super. Oh, you already hear me. I'm telling you. So when folks start talking about you and you already know you're living supernaturally, you let it go in one ear and out the other because you are living a supernatural life. You want to have a supernatural church. And watch this. Once you start walking in the supernatural, I'm telling you, you lay hands on the sick differently. No, I'm saying you lay hands on them because you understand the power of God, the favor of God. You understand. So you are different when you minister. Yeah. Yeah. So at the purpose. See, the Bible says God's dealt to every man measure of faith. So everybody got a measure. For you not to develop your measure is a faith failure. God invested something in you and you've not shown an appreciation for it where you will walk by faith and not by sight. Number two, faith failure at the project level. God has given you a project and you've not done anything. He gives you more on your way than he does before you start. You got to get started. Make of yourself no, am I helping anybody? Make of yourself no reputation and then it won't bother you what they say. Persecution has to be endured. And I have lived long enough to watch persecution change. Oh, yeah. No, I've had people who really was hating on me celebrate me now. And they want to act like they never hated on me. But I heard you. Are you listening to me? You see, here's saying I have. That I refuse to waste my time picking up rocks that folk throw at me and throw them back. I take the rocks they throw at me and I build a bridge. Because one day you will follow me.
Hey! Good vision.
But you've not started on the project. What does it cost to start on the project? What does it cost to get the people in agreement? And pray for the next move. But at least I've declared it.
Yes.
And I'm waiting on God to tell me the next move. Yes. Are you listening to me? Yes. So not only at the perspective level, the project level, but the process level. Everybody say process. See, we understand the faith process, but many of us won't work it. Okay. The mouth. That's why most folk have faith failure in the process with their mouths. Because they understand, they have not really grasped that death and life is in the power of the tongue. And they believe it don't really matter what they say. I listen for what folks say, because that lets me know where you are in faith. Because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is going to speak. And so it does matter what I say. But I listen to people. That's why I know this message is important. Because I've listened to people what they say. And you're not talking faith. You're talking doubt. You're talking unbelief. You're talking not enough. And you have
what you say.
You already know it. So you got to start watching your mouth. I'm talking about if you want to live supernatural. Now you just want to live like everybody else, struggle like everybody else, go and do what you're doing. But I don't believe you would have paid your money to come here to live like that. God has let you know there's something supernatural about this boy. Something supernatural in his life that he wants to impart to you. That's why even though you said I'll go next year. No, God said you got to get here this year. Because he wants you to live at a whole nother level. Wants you to pastor at a whole nother level. God said you tell my people to ask me for the exception.
Preach, Bishop.
Everybody say the exceptional. Yeah, the exceptional. Yes, yes, yes. You can have the best tools for ministry. Not just barely get along tools. Amen, amen. All right, we fail at the perseverance level. I say perseverance. That's the stamina. The stamina to keep going when it gets tough. And not fabricate new instructions. Amen. We're chief at fabricating new instructions. And when if you miss it, you miss it. And you own up that you miss it. And you don't try to fabricate new instructions and think God's going to bless it. I say that testimony. I have next one. I got to go and get through. Failure at the passionate level. Everybody say passionate. Okay. That you no longer have a zeal for ministry. Right now, all you're trying to do is get your bills paid. Where's the zeal for ministry? Where's the fire in the belly? Now, I think we brought some things over to the kingdom that we might need to check ourselves, because we got to really look at this retirement thing. I thought you were bought with a price. I didn't know you were your own and you could decide. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that we had that option. I think we got that from the world. Because when I see John on the Isle of Patmos with wild beasts, he's still writing the Revelation. So I'm saying that you ought to always have a part in ministry. You've been called. I didn't say you were going to lay up on the beach. What's that? And please understand, I am not saying you shouldn't prepare for a next generation coming. I'm doing that. But at the same time, I know God didn't invest all he's invested in me to put me on the sideline. I know how to believe God. So you think he's going to invest all of this in me? And please, y'all understand, I ain't tripping on myself. I'm just telling the truth, you understand? Now, God done invested all this in me, and now I'm going to take all my money, you follow me, and just go somewhere where me and Lady B can just be by ourselves and, you know, to heck with everybody else. I didn't say the hell. I say the heck. Do you think God would work like that? Come on now. No, I have in my next role, you follow me? Yeah, I'm making room for the next generation. I'm doing that. But at the same time, I'm planning a whole nother season. God got me on my faith for something bigger so that I have greater impact. So I'm saying now, faith failure would be for me to walk off the scene. Even though I'm able to, you know, I got the money to take care of myself. You understand? And then not be a participant in my generation. No, that's not the will of God. I'm just telling brothers to check yourselves. I know I'm going to get them many amens on that one, but I'm going to obey God. And then, you know, hey, okay, got to wrap it up because y'all have been really smart. I didn't think I was going to get this far. So now let's look at Peter. Let's see if we can pinpoint his faith failure. All right, Jesus says, okay, Peter. Oh, I have one other thing. I said passion. I didn't give you progressive, did I? No. The progressive level. Everybody say faith failure. Faith failure. At the progressive level. In other words, you have plateaued. God said, I'll bless you more and more. Why are you being satisfied where you are? Everybody say more and more. You're not believing for more and more in your church? Don't let the devil carry you to the place where you're plateaued. Because when you plateau and you just try to call yourself just holding on, we're going to come to you 5 or 10 later, and you type 5 or 10 years later, and we're going to see that you're in a time war. No, because it costs to be progressive.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Everybody say it costs.
It costs.
No, it costs to be progressive. But see, our competition is not other churches.
Right.
You got that right.
Our competition is a world that's trying to tell them we are irrelevant.
Say that. Say that.
Amen. So I've got to always be progressive. I thank God I've surrounded myself with progressive people, minded people. And I give them the room to be creative. You know, Precious Prashia does all of this. That's man, I used to do it all. But then she started telling me my stuff was antiquated. And it was, because I like certain things. If left up to me, everything would be burgundy and gray. Y'all who've been coming a long time know everything was what? Burgundy and gray. I believe the Lord is in the burgundy and in the gray. But there's some things I've had to say, okay. I've got to have a creative mind that understands this generation. It doesn't make me a bad person. And then I have to have the discipline to say, okay, you go for it. You follow me? And many times, like for spiritual encounter and for the women's conference, I didn't see the stage until everybody else saw it. And I came out and went, wow. Oh, you listen to me? But I'm saying, let's stay progressive. Don't let the previous 7 years cause you to become cheap and tight. I'm telling you to use wisdom. Now, I'm not telling you to take the money that you got to pay the light bill with and go and do something crazy with it. And then next week they cut the lights off. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's time to continue to use our faith for greater. He says, I'll bless you more and more.
All right.
Amen. Okay, so now let's go with Peter. Let's find Peter. Ooh, y'all got slow, but that's what happened. So he says, okay, Peter, Jesus warns him. Now let's watch Peter's progression to faith failure so we'll know what not to do. The next thing we see is that after he tells Peter, he's going, and Peter's, oh, no. Okay, listen, Peter, shut up and listen. So he's prideful. He cannot receive correction. I mean, he's out talking, I'm dying for you. Shut up, Peter.
Sir.
You're not receiving correction from one that God has set you under. Secondly, watch this. When Peter should have been praying, he's sleeping with the others. Oh, y'all missed it. You know, in the garden, he says, y'all watch with me, pray with me. He come back, they all sleep. Peter, you don't need to be sleeping. You need to have been, come on now. He's supposed to have been praying, but instead of praying. So prayerlessness will cause me. Are you listening? There's that pride, then there's prayerlessness that will cause me to face faith failure. All right? Okay, then let's look. So the soldiers come. All right? And Peter takes out a sword, cuts off the guy's ear. And Jesus says, put that up. Man, don't you know if I just call down legions of angels, they wipe this place out. What you doing, Peter? You acting before you think. You're trying to prove in the flesh that you're more than who you really are. Put that up. We don't run this thing by flesh. When you start by flesh trying to make stuff happen, you step outside of the plan of God. Faith failure is imminent. So what do we have now? So now they arrest Jesus. Where is Peter? Look at him. He's following afar off. Oh, really? He's not where he ought to be. He's not up close anymore. Faith failure is imminent when you begin to follow from afar. Yeah, follow from afar. You used to get the CDs, but you're following now from afar. You used to come to meetings and that stuff, but you follow from afar. I'm talking about how members do too, you understand? They used to be on the second row, but now you see them right there in the back because they want to hurt them, get out quick. They're following from afar, and faith failure is imminent. What's the next thing we see about Peter? What? Peter has developed associations with those who are not of the faith. He's warming himself by somebody else's fire. Where you get that book from? Where you get that teaching from? Why are you warming yourself by somebody else's fire? We preach the gospel. We don't preach our mandingo warmed over. Moment I put this down and start getting other books to preach from, I am now warming myself by somebody else's fire. I'm trying to, yeah. And I no longer uphold the Bible. I develop fellowship. Oh, let's look. This last one. Okay. Now let's listen to Peter talk. The first lady says, I think I remember you. Yeah, oh, no. The another guy says, I think I know you. You're one of them. No. This, wait a minute. He there a whole hour. A whole hour later. So, yeah. You're a Galilean. You talk like they talk. Now he cussing. His conversation goes down.
My God.
Faith failure comes when your confession is no longer what it used to be. Then, after the third time he denies, the cock crows. Amen. Everybody said the cock crows. Yeah, now, in the natural, it was something that nature did. But for him, it was the mark of a prophetic word given to him. And now he's alerted and he's alarmed. Everybody said the cock crows. I believe this week, the cock crows. Yeah, even tonight, the cock is crowing. He's shaking you. Hey, you need to listen to that, brother. He's telling you, yes, I've got greater things for you. He's telling you, yes, you better watch the folk you've been hanging with. You've been warming yourself by the wrong fire. The cock is crowing. But when the cock crows, Peter looks at Jesus. And Jesus looks at Peter.
Yes, sir.
But what did he see in his eyes? He did not see condemnation.
Yeah.
What he saw in his eyes was compassion.
Yeah.
Even though your faith failed, I still love you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though you didn't pass this test, I'm still pulling for you.
Yeah.
I got business to tend to, Peter. I got to go give my life. But I want you to remember this look on my face. I am not disappointed. I fully expect you to recover. And on resurrection morning, if I was a hooper here, on resurrection morning, he told the angel, you go tell Peter.
Yeah.
Tell him I'm not through with him. You go tell Peter to meet me. I fully expect that boy to recover. I got work for him on Pentecost Day. I'm talking to somebody in the house. You've been down on yourself. But I'm here to tell you, God still, he still loves you. I'm here to tell you that he's still looking at you with a compassionate eye, and compassion sets the stage for the supernatural. He's waiting. He's waiting. Told the angel, go get him. I'm waiting. Everybody say he waited.
He waited.
Because he's about to do something supernatural in Peter's life. Because what the devil meant for evil, God's about to take it and give him a testimony. I'm here tonight because what the devil meant for evil. They locked me up. They laughed at me. But what the devil meant for evil. When God showed me how to recover and let me know he still loved me and that he still had great things for my life, then God, what he did, when I made the step toward him, then he said, that's all I've been waiting for. Somebody here tonight, that's the same thing. Because the supernatural does not take place until Jesus, until Moses lifted up the rod, the Red Sea did not part. Until they watched around the wall of Jericho and shouted, the wall did not fall. Until Gideon and his 300 men blew their trumpets and smashed their pitchers, there was no victory. Until Joshua and the priests stepped their foot in the Jordan would not roll back. Until Mary and Martha moved the stone, Jesus could not call Lazarus from the dead. Until, are y'all listening to me? What am I saying? I'm saying until you boldly obey God. Until you say, here am I, Lord. Send me, you understand? Until you do that, you'll never see the supernatural. But thank God, Jesus, there's a new generation in the house. Amen, amen. There's a new generation in the house. There's a new people in the land. There's a people who will say, God, I'll trust you. God, I'll obey you. Now we're about to watch God take us into levels of the super. I'm out of time. Hallelujah. Repeat after me. My supernatural future is at stake. Thank you, Father, for the courage and the wisdom to see beyond the limitations of reasoning and fear, so that I may boldly see the promised breakthrough in all of its splendor. I thank you, Father, that angels are ready to witness my obedience and to hear me give voice to the word, that they may speedily hearken to the voice of the word. Satan, I cast down all the strongholds on my thinking that would cause me to doubt. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. I have no doubt that my God is perfecting all that concerns me. I'm at total peace. I'm dependent on his grace that guides my steps. And the promised blessing is mine in Jesus' name. Now give the Lord a shout. Come on, shout.